Last Sunday, my partner Tom announced, much to my surprise, in the middle of our liturgy, that the large cypress tree in our little forest of a backyard fell in last week's windstorm. I hadn't noticed until arriving home, and yes, lo and behold, there it is. There it is, lying in our backyard, perfectly poised over the yard like a great beached whale. It smells nicer than that, in fact. But there it is, hugely present in through the picture windows. And when the arborist came out, he shook his head and said, "My, you're lucky. I've been with a lot of people this week whose homes are destroyed, and yours almost was. So there it sits, this great behemoth of a tree, 70-some feet long in our backyard. I couldn't help but meditate some on that tree this week. This is not an unfamiliar image to me, the tree, not the whale. I grew up around woodsmen, come from heritage of loggers and foresters, both in this state and in California, cutting down trees, splitting wood, and the painstaking work of cutting kindling for hungry fireplaces was a regular part of my childhood. It was actually my chore. I wasn't necessarily great at it, or the kindling wasn't always there when my father wanted it, but it was my job. And I was familiar with it as I was familiar with the forest, learning about the old logging ways from my father and about care, our care and respect of the forest. Walking through a forest with a bit of knowledge about the natural lives of trees and some mindfulness, one becomes acquainted with living and dying. One becomes acquainted with living and dying and the ways the so-called dead continue to nurture life. Eckhart Tolle writes, "When you walk through a forest, you will see not only abundant life all around you, but you will also encounter fallen trees and decaying trunks. Wherever you look, you will find death as well as life. But upon closer scrutiny, you will discover that the decomposing tree trunk and rotting leaves not only give birth to new life, but they themselves are full of life themselves. Microorganisms are at work, molecules are rearranging themselves, so in a way, death isn't to be found anywhere. There is only the metamorphosis of life forms." "What can you learn from this?" he asks. "Death is not the opposite of life. Death is not the opposite of life. Life has no opposite. The opposite of death is birth. Life. Life is eternal. Life is eternal." Or as the Eucharistic prayer at a Requiem Mass prays, "Life is changed, not ended. Life is changed, not ended." So on this day of All Saints, in which we remember the beloved ones who have been the vessels of grace in their generations, I want to invite our reflection on the image of saints, of the saints as nurse logs for our lives. The saints as nurse logs for our lives, or rather the saints as nurse logs for our living, as vessels of grace in our time. A nurse log, of course, is a tree that, like the one lying in my backyard, has fallen and becomes a host for a whole new array of life. The metaphor of a nurse log for saints can be pondered in many ways, and I invite you to that, but here I want to reflect on just two ways. And the first seems obvious enough. Nurse logs and saints lived and died, lived and died. Some of them were cut down, blown over in their prime. Some were burned. Some became diseased, and some lived out all their days. But all nurse logs and all saints lived and died. That trees live and die is obvious, that saints live and die is obvious, but there's more. There's more. There's something more about the ways that the saints lived and died that has us remember them, has us celebrating them, has us lean toward them, learn from them, gain strength from them, align our lives to theirs, be nurtured by their stories. And that something about the ways the saints lived is that they did live. They really lived. They lived real lives, and they really lived their lives. And that's not something we can say about everyone. That's not something I can say about the whole of my life, really. But it is how I most want to be alive, to live. In the book of Deuteronomy, it is remembered that God declared, "I put before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Why not? What's to lose? Choose life." The saints made the choice and made it for life. Else there would be little for us to gain from them, no example set by them. And don't take it for granted that existence is life. At least, it's not the kind of life the divine life has in mind for you and for me. And don't think that by living, what I mean is that the saints attained great and fantastic success or progress or fulfilled their purpose in a way we're so driven to today. Many of the saints did indeed succeed in amazing accomplishments. But when we read the lives of the saints, particularly at our Wednesday Vesper Mass, we often hear those stories of people who founded great monasteries, who converted whole nations, who gained historic stature. And just as likely, however, is the saint whose importance in her time went completely unnoticed, whose service would never make history were it not put next to the good news of the kingdom of God. And I'm sure that when you, like me, think of the saints of our lives, they were probably not great heroes, but people who, like you and me, taught us important lessons, life lessons, had confidence in us when others didn't, inspired us to live and not simply to exist. The saints of God, they were often purpose-driven. If they were, though, it probably wasn't that we noticed. That was noticed, that was felt, that was intuited, but rather that they were equally meaning motivated. Their lives had and have meaning because they lived authentically. Their lives ring true. Their lives ring true. So saints are like nurse logs in that they really lived, and secondly, because they're living, in their living and in their dying, they participate in the give and the take of life in a whole and balanced way that continues to renew life. They participate in their living and in their dying in a give and take of life in a whole and balanced way that renews life. I speak of balance, give and take in a world weighted down with taking. Brother David Stendhal Rass reminds us that if we only take breaths, if we only take breaths, we'll suffocate. And likewise, if we only release breaths, we'll suffocate. The living being participates in the flow of life by taking and receiving. Have you ever noticed how much of our language is oriented toward the taking? We take everything. We take walks. We take tests. We take trips. We take courses. We take baths. We take rest. We take meals. We even take things that cannot possibly be taken, like time. Have you ever taken a seat? How's that working? No wonder we tend to be averse to the grace of giving ourselves away, and what poverty of language there is around giving, about all there is to give is a darn, or not give a darn, or some other version of that. Well, back to the saints of your lives and of my life. You know, they were probably never, none of them, on the take. They were probably none of them ever on the take. And if they were, it isn't that we remember and know them and know of them as saints. It's not that we remember and why we recall them as saints. They received life and they gave life. Perhaps they knew something of the crazy math of the kingdom of God, that there's greater gain in giving oneself away. And there's such poverty driven by only taking. Looking at it this way, sainthood is special. It's special in the way that each of us is called to be the unique manifestation or incarnation, the special gift of God in this world for our time, in the way that we are and can be. So I invite you this day, with all the saints, to take up the mantle of praise and to give yourselves to the work and witness of love, generous, self-giving love. Take and receive, give and offer in the generous and life-giving cycle of God's balanced life. For, to use the words of St. Francis, it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.